Mark chapter number 5. The book of Mark chapter number 5. And we're going to read a few verses over there. I preached through the book of Mark last summer. I guess we ended it up last fall. But it's been a few years now since we'd have to go back to where we were in Mark chapter number 5. But I've been reading through the book of Mark this past week. I'm almost done. I've started over in the New Testament, read Matthew, read Mark. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me some things this week out of this passage of Scripture I'd never seen before. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 25 down through verse number 34 we'll read, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray. Lord, we just come today and I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for this pretty day. And Lord, all that you've done for us, Lord, the health and strength to get out of bed and come to church this morning and to feel good in our body, most of all in our heart, in our soul. I'm thankful for the peace of God. I'm thankful for your grace. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give great liberty to preach thy word today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help us as a church family. I pray, Lord, that we would draw closer unto thee. Lord, that is a great need in this day and time. And Lord, we are thankful, God, for all the promises and all the encouragement we find in your word and that the Holy Spirit of God gives us. Now, just have your way this morning and do what you want to do in our midst, and we'll thank you if you'll just do that. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 27 just to get started this morning. I know this is probably for a lot of people a familiar passage of Scripture about this woman that had the issue of blood and the Lord healed her. But in verse number 27 and 28, it said, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" And so I want to preach on something this morning that I've preached out of this passage before, but the Lord showed me something this past week, as I've already said, that I never really noticed before, but it's in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we're not going to turn to all those places, but I think once you see it this morning, you'll be able to see it from here on out. And I believe if we could really get a hold of this, I believe it would change our lives. I believe it would change our personal lives, our Christian lives, our walk with the Lord is what I'm talking about. I believe if we could get a hold of this today, it would change our prayer lives, our family life, our church life. Look what she said in verse number 28. She said, "For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" And I want to try to preach this morning on the subject, "Let me touch him." You know, we sing a song, the choir sings a song, and I've had that on my mind all week long. "Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus," is how that song goes, "that others may see Christ in me. Let me touch him." And this lady that we study about here in the Bible, she had suffered And that's Bible language I'm using here. She had suffered with this plague that she had, this issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible said that she had spent all that she had. She'd been sick all this time. Let's read verses 25 and 26 again. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things, the Bible says, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Can you imagine 12 years of sickness? Now, it's bad enough to be sick, but it's really bad to be sick on and on and on and on. And you know, you can be going along and everything will be fine, and you get the flu, you get a sore throat, you get a toothache, something like that, and you just think you're going to die. Well, this woman had been sick for 12 years, the Bible says. 12 years of sickness, 12 years of suffering, 12 years of many physicians. If you're not sick, just start going to the doctor, you'll get there. Go to the doc. Kim's mamaw lived till she was 99, and she said, once you start going to the doctor, you just can't stop. And she was a nurse, retired from the hospital. Go to the doc, go to the physician. She had been 12 years going to this doctor, going to that doctor. Can you imagine everything she had tried to get better from her plague? She had tried the doctors, she had tried the treatment, she had tried the new medicine that would come out. She had spent all of her money. No doubt she lived a life of hardship, because the Bible says in verse number 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And one thing we can learn from this passage of Scripture, isn't it sort of funny? Well, it's not really funny, it's sort of sad, but medicine, and I'm thankful for doctors and medicine and all like that, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of things that haven't changed. You can still go to many physicians, suffer, spend all that you have, and only get worse. And that's what she had done. 12 years long, she had went along with this thing, and she had been to all the doctors, she had spent all of her money, and she was not getting any better, but here in the Word of God, we find that she was just getting worse and worse as it went along. And so I want to try to preach on this subject today. Let me touch Him. Let me point out some things from this Scripture and from the Bible about touching the Lord. First of all, we're going to look at verse number 27, what the Bible says. Number one, it was a promising touch. Now, the Bible said in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. Now, she's been to every doctor, she's tried everything under the sun. But when she had heard of Jesus, it was a promising touch. Now, how did she hear about Jesus? Well, look back in your Bibles, just a few pages. Look in Mark chapter number 1. The earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was really a very astounding thing. If you and I could have lived in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of His earthly ministry, we would have heard, we would maybe have, if you'd have lived there, a very, very real chance that you would have seen, you would have talked to somebody that would have been affected by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 40, the Bible said, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And verse number 44, the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, The Lord Jesus touched the leper, made him whole. And then the Lord told him, he said, don't tell anybody. I preached a message a few years ago on that subject. Don't tell anybody. Well, did he listen to what the Lord said? No, he didn't listen. And you wouldn't have listened either. Could you keep it a secret if the Lord had cured you of leprosy? Look what the Bible said in verse number 45. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. That one man told so many people that the Lord couldn't even minister in the city anymore. He had to move out into the country, and once he moved out into the country, they came to him. There's a lot of people heard about what the Lord done for that leper. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. And again, you know, I imagine things sort of maybe calmed down after, I don't know, a week, a month, a few weeks, something like that. But the Bible said, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Hey, the Lord Jesus, he's back. He's in this house. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And so these four men bring their friend. He was palsied, which means that he couldn't walk, and they had to carry him to him there on a bed. And there were so many people in the house, they couldn't get that man into the house. They climbed up on the roof, they peeled the roof back, peeled the tiles back, and they let that man down through the roof. You learned about that in Sunday school when you was a little kid, probably. Verse number 11, the Bible said that Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Well, then people, when they saw that great multitude gathered around, and all those people and couldn't even get in the house, when that man walked out of that house, they all said, boy, we've never seen anything like this before. The Capernaum Gazette the next morning had the headline, carried in, walked out. Palsied man healed, gave his name and his address. We never saw anything like that before. Not since Old Testament Bible times had he seen anything even coming close to that. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. The things the Lord Jesus did, he didn't do them in secret. He did it openly. People talked about it. Can you imagine if somebody done something like that today? Can you imagine the news? Can you imagine the stir? Can you imagine the excitement among people? Look in chapter 3 and verse number 7 what the Bible says. Chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible said again, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. That is so many people that, you ever seen maybe a celebrity or the president or somebody that people just, they are just closing in on somebody, trying to touch them, trying to see them. And the bodyguards and security, they've got to come out and rope off a place for them to be, or they've got to come out and push the crowds back. The disciples were crowd control. There's so many people. If Jesus said, I need to get down into that little ship, get away from all these multitudes so I can see him and so I can preach to him. And that's exactly what he did. Verse number 10 said, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And so everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ went, there is a great multitude would gather together. And they came from everywhere. In verse number 8, from Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond Jordan, Tyre and Sidon, people come from all over the place. Because they had heard about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, multitudes followed after him. He started out in the city, and there were so many people that he had to move out into the country. And then when he came back into the city again, he had to immediately leave, and the multitudes followed after him. Everybody knew. Everybody was hearing about what the Lord Jesus was able to do when the sick came to him, and when people that had devils and all kinds of problems would come to him. If they could just touch him, he could heal them. Now we come back to our little lady in Mark chapter number 5, and we don't even know her name. But you know, there was some way that she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she heard about his promising touch. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but the Bible just says, but when she heard of Jesus. You know, I just imagine in my mind, she's outside the house one day, and the little neighbor lady beside her comes along and says, how you doing? You know, everybody knows she's sick, and she's been sick a long time. And our little lady in Mark chapter number 5 probably said, oh, you know, about the same. I went to a new doctor last week, and he looked everything over, and I spent the last money I had, and I'm going to try this new medicine, and I'm going to try this new thing that he's offered unto me. But she might have said, you know, I really don't have much hope about that, because I've tried everything. And I've been to doctors for years, and I've spent everything that I had, and I'm just sort of used to it now. That's sort of how life is for me. I'm just sick, and, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get better or not. Maybe the other lady looked at her and said, well, you know, I won't tell you about something. I had a cousin live down in Capernaum, and he was a leper. And you know how it is to have leprosy? There's no hope. But you know, there was this man Jesus came by and touched him and made him whole. And I've not only heard about that, but I want to tell you, I've heard about him touching a lot of people and healing a lot of people. And I know it looks back in your condition, but maybe if you could see him and touch him, maybe he could do something for you. See, the Bible says that she heard, and she, no doubt, down through the years had heard about a lot of things that were promising. Just like us today, oh, there's a promising new doctor, and there's a promising new drug, and there's a promising new treatment, and it's no different then than now. That we're all time hearing about something that's promising. But she had never heard about a man that could just touch you and make you whole. It was a promising touch. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And when she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was able to do. See, faith is a seed. When it gets down in your soul, it'll begin to grow. Maybe she went home and thought about that. Maybe she went home and nursed and took her medicine and all of those things that she had. She had an issue of blood, which means she bled all the time. And faith began to grow in her heart and in her soul. Oh, if I ever hear where he is, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. It was a promising touch. Here's what I really want you to get a hold of this morning. Number two, it was a personal touch. Now, if you look in verse number 28, what the Bible says. The Bible said, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." It was a personal touch. Now, here's what I want you to get this morning. There's a lot of times where the Lord touches us. And we use that language all the time. Even this morning, Brother Stephen, he was talking about Vacation Bible School. And we read in Matthew chapter number 19 where they brought the little children to Jesus. Did you notice over there? It said, "And he touched them." And there's a lot of places in the Bible where the Lord touches people. He touches them. He touched the leper. In Mark chapter number 1, we've already read that. He touched him. And that was uncalled in that day for anybody that was well to touch a leper. But he touched the leper and healed him and cleansed him. The Lord touched the children. The Lord touched a leper. The Lord touched Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick and lay of a fever. And the Bible said that he went in, he touched her, and raised her up. And she was healed immediately. Amen. He touched her. He touched a lot of people in the Bible. He touched a blind man. He touched the disciples in their fear. In Matthew chapter number 17, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible said that they trembled in fear, and he came and he touched them. They got over their fear. He touches a lot of people in the Bible. He touched the children. He touched a dead man in Luke chapter number 7. And we use that language all the time. We say, we need the Lord's touch. Brother Stephen said that about the children. They would be at Vacation Bible School. He said, they need the Lord's touch. We need the Lord's touch. We need to get people to the Lord Jesus so that He can touch them. That is definitely a ministry. That's what those four people in that brought the palsied man, they knew that if they could get their friend to Jesus and He could touch him, that He could raise him up off that bed. They brought him for the Lord to touch. And so we use that. We say things like that all the time. We need the Lord's touch. I know some addicts today that need the Lord's touch. I was talking to somebody just this past week about, and not in this church or anything, but not saying that we don't have it. But I'll tell you, after a while, you know, you just got to say, they just need the Lord's touch. You can try everything. You can go everywhere. You can spend all your money. You can go to rehab 25 times. But if you don't have the Lord's touch, amen, not going to get any better. Just going to be the same. I know some addicts that, I'm telling you what, they need the Lord's touch. They need the Lord to touch them. I know a lot of lost people this morning that need the Lord's touch. You can pray. You can witness. You can reason out of the Scripture. You can do all of these things. But until the Lord touches them, they'll not be saved. Till the Lord opens their blinded eyes. I know sick people today that need the Lord's touch. I know some prodigal sons and daughters out here today that are just going along and they just think everything's wonderful and fine, and it's not. It's just a matter of time. But if the Lord don't touch them, life is going to come along with its big old ball bat of reality and knock them so hard they may never recover. Do you know people like that? I mean, you can see what's coming. You can scream and yell and cry and pray and fuss and do everything under the sun. And they just go right along. Everything's fine. Everything's good. And you can see it coming. They're getting ready to run right into a train. But if the Lord don't touch them, See, that's what sin does. Sin makes people blind and they can't see what's coming down the road. And oh, when it comes, sometimes you never recover. Or it hits so hard that it affects them the rest of their life. You know, it's called the Grim Reaper for a reason. And it's not just dying I'm talking about, but a lot of times reaping what we sow. But it's a grim thing. I know a lot of prodigals that need the Lord's touch. We pray all the time, Lord, touch them. Lord, help them. Lord, open their eyes. But I want to show you something about this lady. She sets out after him. He didn't come to her. She went to him. And that elevates faith to a whole new level. When the Lord comes and touches, when the Lord went and touched the dead man, that dead man wasn't seeking him. That's just the grace of God. And sometimes just by the grace of God, he comes by and touches us. But sometimes we need to make up our heart and mind that we're going to touch him. That lady made up her heart and mind that she was going to touch him. And the Bible said that she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There's some things in this life that the preacher and the church and all of praying Christianity and every good intention cannot do for us. If God puts a Goliath in our life, we're going to have to be the one that fights it. I mean, all them other men were gathered around, but nobody's going out to fight Goliath. But God was doing a work in David's life to make David a giant killer. But he had to face that one giant first. That's a personal thing. Hey, and there's so much pressure in being a pastor. A lot of times you feel like, preacher, you come down here and get the preacher to pray and get the church to pray, and all that's good and all that's fine. Sometimes God's doing a work in our life to get us to pray. To get us to see that nobody else can fight this. Nobody else can do this. This is something I have got to go and touch him. That's how that lady was. Hey, everybody else had already prayed for her for 12 years. And now she's worse than she ever was before. But now she's got a promising touch. And now she's got a personal touch. She says, oh, if I may but just touch him, I know that he's going to be able. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You say, I don't know if I've touched him or not. Have you ever sought after him? I mean, really, sought the Lord. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29 and 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I tell you, every day when that lady woke up, I think she was listening for news of where Jesus might be. And as soon as she heard that he was anywhere nearby and she was certain, she set after him. And guess what? She found him. When she heard, she went. I tell you, there's some places you won't find Jesus. You won't find him on television. You won't find him on the telephone. You won't find him on the computer. It'd help us in this generation a whole lot. And I'm preaching to everybody. If we get off Facebook and get our face on the ground and our nose in the book, that's where you're going to find him. That's Facebook we need. We don't need to call and gossip anymore. It's all on Facebook. There's a personal touch. There's a promising touch. Number three, there is a purposed touch. Look what she said in verse number 28. The Bible said in verse number 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The purpose of her touching the Lord was to be whole. Was to be made whole, was to be healed completely. That was the purpose of her touch. Look, we serve a big God. We ought to ask for big things. We ought to expect and look for God to do big things in our life and in our prayer requests and in our families. Look at Mark chapter number 10. Look what the Bible says over there. Mark chapter number 10. I want to read a couple of verses. There's a blind man over here. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 49. This blind Bartimaeus it's talking about. The Bible said in verse number 50, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The blind man said, Lord, or the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man didn't say, well, you know, I'd really like a new seeing eye dog. I would like for somebody to lead me around by the hand so I can see. I would like for my unemployment case to come up because it's been a long time now and it's all held up. And, you know, if I had a little more money, I could be able to take care of myself. That's not what the blind man wanted. The blind man said, the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, I'd really like to see the sun come up in the morning. I'd like to see my little girl's face. I've just heard her voice. I've just felt her hair. She talks to me all the time. I'd really like to see her. I'd like to see the sea. I hear the waves lapping in on the seashore. I feel the breeze. I know what it does. But Lord, I'd really like to have my sight. And you know what the Lord gave him? The Lord gave him his sight. He asked for a big thing. It was a purposeful touch. She said, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be made whole. We don't get miracles. We don't ask a whole lot for them. We ask for a lot of things, but we ask amiss. James chapter 4 and verse number 3. And I'm not just preaching to one or two people this morning. We all need the Lord's touch. That's what's wrong with us. We don't have or seek the Lord's touch. That's how in this day and time that we could have children that are convicted and know they need to be saved and come and ask over and over and over. And we as a church can't see one person birthed into the family of God. Brother Raymond talked about this in our Sunday school class. Years ago, churches got on the altar. Years ago, churches had the power of God. Churches had the touch of God. You can preach till you're blue in the face. You can preach it all right and preach it all straight. And something will come up and somebody will say, preacher needs to preach on that. But if we don't act on that, it's not going to do us any good. We're just full and fat and we are satisfied to just come and go. But if we come and go and we don't have the power and we don't have the touch and we can't see souls saved and God working in our midst, we're just religious is all that we are. We need the touch of God. I don't care how good of a Bible school we put on. If we don't have the touch of God, we might as well be the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. We might as well just have crafts and food and sing a little song and go back to the house. If we do all this and we don't have the touch of God and the Spirit of God doesn't settle on us, And the children realize when they come in, this is different than school. This is different than camp. There's something holy. There's something right. There's something about, there's some people here that's different. If they don't see and experience all that, it's just all for nothing. And we're just all running ourselves ragged and doing all this stuff for nothing. Is that not right? We would look this morning, look around and look at other churches. Oh, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it right. They're not seeing this and they're not seeing that. Let's just think about us. Are we doing it right? If we don't have His touch in our midst, we're not doing it right. We may, by the letter, be doing it right. But if we're not doing it in the right spirit and we don't have His touch and we don't go get His touch, we're not doing it right. And we're not doing right by our children. Just to raise them to be religious. I'll tell you what religion will do. Religion will end you up in hell. It's a lot of religious people have never been saved, never been born again. God help us. It was a purposed touch. We need the Lord's touch for our church, for souls being saved, for healing in our lives, for victory over sin, for help in our family, our finances, our job, direction in our lives. On and on and on we could go this morning. You need the Lord's touch more than you realize today. We just sit around and say we need the Lord's touch, but how many times do we go and touch Him? She went and touched Him. She took some personal responsibility and said, I'm going to go and I'm going to touch Him. And I know if I touch Him, I'll be made whole. That was the purpose. It's a purpose touch. Number four, it was a powerful touch. Look in verse number 25, what the Bible says, or verse number 29. Mark chapter 5, verse 29. And she said, and the Bible said, and straightway. That means right then. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Boy, I like that. Jesus didn't say, now come back and see me in 6 months. She didn't even ask for a follow-up appointment. She didn't say, I feel better. She said, I know I'm better. I touched Him. I felt it. I felt it. I felt God do something in my body. Verse 30 said, and Jesus. Immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Hey, there was people touching him all the time. There's so many people around that, what they're basically saying is, Lord, what do you mean? Everybody's touched you. But somebody touched him with faith, and that was different. And he was talking about that touch of faith. He knew that somebody had gotten a hold of him through faith. That's what it means. Verse 32, and he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I don't understand all these people out here running around saying, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know much. And I know sometimes in our life, dark times come and we might say, you know, I doubt, I wonder. I mean, the devil he's just constant. And then how you feel physically has a whole lot to do with your spiritual life as well. It really does. Somebody said one time, it's hard to praise God with a toothache. If you've never had a bad toothache, You know what that means. Now this constant, and are you saved? I think so. I hope so. Blind Bartimaeus knew he could see, didn't he? And the palsied man that the Lord said, take up your bed and walk. And he picked it all up, rolled it under his arm, and walked out the front door. And he'd been left down through the roof. He knew he could walk. And the deaf man knew he could hear. And if a lost man ever comes into contact with the saving grace of God, he'll know that he's been saved. He'll know that he's been changed. He'll know that something happened in his life. A little kid can know they're saved. An adult can know they're saved. The Lord Jesus is in the know-so business. He wants us to know that we know Him. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe upon His name. Boy, you talk about a powerful touch. Say, I don't know if I've had that touch or not. You set out to touch Him, and you'll find out that you will know when He does. Didn't you always hate when you were growing up? And you might think, ask your mom or dad, you know, well, when I fall in love, how will I know? And they will say, well, you'll just know. I know none of you guys ever done that, but some of you girls probably did. Some of you guys probably did. Talk to your mom about things. How will I know? You'll know. How will I know when the Lord touched me? Oh, you'll know. You'll know. Little 9-year-old boy, first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to call Mama and tell her. Well, tell Mama I got saved. I don't understand all about it, but I know the Lord done something for me. I've never got away from that. Every time in life I've ever doubted, I've ever wondered, I've ever gone back, the Lord say, remember, I touched you. It's a powerful touch. I'm glad for the touch of the Lord. And look over in Mark chapter 6. I'll show you one last thing and I'll be done. It was a perpetual touch. That word perpetual, it means on and on and on. Now, Mark chapter 6 and verse number 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard He was. And whithersoever He entered into villages or cities our country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that they might touch, if it were but the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole. It didn't stop with that woman. But everywhere that He went after that, man, when they heard Jesus was coming, they ran, got the sick people, carried them out there in their beds, laid them in the street, and said, if you'll just touch His garment when He comes by. And He passed by, the Bible said, as many as touched Him. Can you imagine seeing that? Here He goes down the street, frail hands reaching out, standing up behind Him. Whew. He touched me. He touched me. And everywhere. That ought to be us. That ought to be our testimony as we go through this world. Hey, He touched me. And He'll touch you. He'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll work in your life. He's a big God. He's still touching people today. Isn't that a blessing? If you will reach out and touch Him by faith, He will raise you up. He'll save you. He'll touch you. It's a perpetual touch. And I thought about that song, Let Me Touch Him, Let Me Touch Jesus, that others may see Him in me. Why you won't touch Him anyway? You really need something. And others need to see Him in you. and Him in us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'm